You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to have a really wonky, nerdy talk about what's happening in appraisal world. And if you're a home buyer or seller, you might be thinking this is not my topic, but it is, because you're going to get some information to help you protect yourself and get the best possible outcome on your real estate. If you're a real estate professional, you had better be paying attention to what's happening in appraisal world. Today, I've got Peter Gallo with us. Peter has served in so many volunteer capacities. He is a local appraiser right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the market that I serve. So we're actually fortunate enough to understand the schematics of this market. But Peter looks at the appraisal industry and he has concerns that can help make everybody stronger. So enjoy this conversation. If it feels like overload, then pause it and come back, because I promise this is worth your time. I'll see you on the other side. Hey, so thanks for coming on the podcast. I see we have new news out of appraisal world.
Yeah, nothing going on. Just total chaos.
It's no big deal. Just that the appraisers are all bad guys. I'm just so tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we should talk about in the podcast, is how appraisers aren't really bad guys.
No, I mean,
what's our angle on the podcast today, by the way? Where do you want to go with it?
Wherever you want to go. I mean, I know the data collection is a big issue. I think data collection is the key. I mean, I have some stuff I can share my screen, but I don't know if we want to go too far down the rabbit hole.
Well, I mean, you know, our friends at Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and the VA, they're all going to watch this episode.
So
make sure that they know the independent appraiser should remain an integral part of the process.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a fan of these algorithms and AI. I mean, honestly, it's a big talk in real estate right now, is all the ways you can use ChatGPT in your business. But nobody really wants to talk about the fact that somebody somewhere is programming all of that. And so it's not necessarily going to be free of bias, discrimination. It's definitely not going to know a neighborhood like a human does.
No, and what you see, especially in the appraisal world, there's too many non-appraisers that have too much of a voice. We have tech people that are saying they can figure out, they can do everything that an appraiser does. And it's the same for agents and brokers too. Everything can be, oh, we can just make it into a transaction. And the people that are in the business really are the ones that know that that can never happen. And we know how we get from A to B. And a lot of the AI cannot get there. If you do any of that ChatGPT, you can see it's kind of a good clearinghouse to get a bunch of information in sort of a fluid kind of thing. But you have to go in there and pick things out and rearrange and smooth it out, or else you can tell it. Maybe at some point in time, we'll get to a point where it can fool us, but is that really what we want to depend on? And that's really what the appraiser's role is, right? It's an independent party coming into a transaction, nothing at stake, but we're real estate professionals. By the time we're done with an appraisal on a property, we know more about that property than most. And you just don't hear it from us, because it just gets whittled down to a report that we send to the lender and they send it on. But if you wanted to talk to me after I finished that report, I could tell you all kinds of things about where it is in the market, about structural things. I mean, there's so many things that we have to absorb and study and observe before we give that report. You know, people want to replace us because we don't supposedly measure accurately. At least Fannie and Freddie, that's what we've heard from them.
Wait a minute, you mean like the house measure? Like that's their actual argument?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. That two appraisers will go to the same house and there'll be discrepancies. Well, we're not really expert measurers.
Show me one bureaucrat that can manage a cantilevered room. They can't do it either. Two-story foyer, two-story living room, cantilevers. Right. Right. Tri-level, split foyers, I mean, that's why I hire somebody to measure my listings, because I need a licensed appraiser to do it. It's not an exact science. But, you know, it just occurred to me.
It's not an exact science for us. We're supposed to get an idea of what we're appraising, and measuring it is part of that. And us personally measuring it, it's supported. I can support it because I know I measured the property. So I can support my measurements.
All right. So wait a minute. So from the state perspective, so the state real estate commission, it is the responsibility of the real estate professional to measure the house or to have a licensed professional measure the house. So you're responsible for that number, but they allow for a variance of 5% because they know it's not an exact science. Are you saying that Fannie and Freddie don't have a variance built in like the NC, like North Carolina Real Estate Commission does?
I think they do, but it's just another one of the kind of caveats to say, hey, let's have data collectors go out and do this and let's use this technology to scan. But what it's really about is leveraging the loan process to use this thing to get inside the house. And then on top of it, Fannie Mae requires us to follow ANSI standards, which is exterior measurements, right?
That's ANSI. For the viewers and listeners out there, ANSI is ANSI. He's just using the acronym.
American National
Standards Institute
or something like that. There is no technology available that can determine exterior measurements. You can do satellite and everything, but with the technology, like it'll see overhangs of a porch and it can't tell if that's an interior. So there really is no technology that can get down and really dependably measure homes. So
and that also doesn't take into account that you have that gap between the exterior wall and the interior finish space, which we were all taught in measuring a house, you have to account for that. So how is a device going to measure for that?
It guesses. So that's
that's totally better than a human. Let your device guess.
Right. But the thing about measuring is, like I said, appraisers aren't expert measurers. That's part of it. But think about when somebody's outside measuring a home. You're out there. Not only are you looking at the tape, you're looking at the eaves. You're looking at
foundation,
the views. When you go the landscaping, the neighbors, with the backyard. Yeah, we're looking at the neighbors.
We're not looking at them in that way, people. You're observing the condition of the property. Is it a boarded up house? Is it a junkyard? That's what we mean, not staring in the windows.
You also see that broadcast tower that maybe you're pulling up to the house that you saw. Now you're in the backyard and you see, and it's like, oh, it's right there. Or, oh, I really can't see it. You can't see it from here. It's really not a factor. And there's all these little intangibles that the appraiser visiting a property and doing all these things, you get a feel just for like a purchaser wants to see the house. I mean, they're going to want
to. Okay. See, you know what? It just hit me. The purpose of the AVMs, the automated valuation models, and the AI and all the technology is to make the assumption that real estate is a commodity item.
Right.
And if it were a commodity item, you would never have needed an independent appraiser. But the reason we need an independent appraiser is because real estate is not a commodity item. And that's one of the basic things that nobody seems to acknowledge in these conversations, that I can have a production builder who builds the same floor plan right next to the other one, just change the color of the vinyl siding. Same room count, same condition, same upgrade, same everything. And the minute you put a human in the house, each house now has a different value because of upgrades that they're going to do and the way that they maintain the house. And do you wear shoes in the house or not? And do you take care of the paint on the walls? And do you clean the stove? I mean, there's all of these intangibles that come in because there's no way to commoditize this product. And maybe that's the core problem of this whole conversation that we keep having, which is frankly one of my concerns with the new standards for training on the appraisal side that are going to allow for electronic and video training, which again assumes that real estate is a commodity item. But maybe we should have made this argument differently all this time, Peter.
There's too many things at play and there's too many agendas. And there's not
too many agendas. There's one agenda. It's big money from big banks and big government that wants to take over real estate. And I'm not even being a conspiracy theorist. They want what we do.
And it's funny because I really think it's about technology. I think everybody wants to embrace technology where they can, but
Peter, who owns the technology? I'm going to be difficult. Who owns it? Banks.
But the thing is, not only do they think that real estate is just a commodity, but the process, they're commoditizing the process. So
Great point.
It's not about, hey, let's get the agent out and let's just set up an Uber agent app where it's the closest person that has a license that can let somebody in the house, that let alone all the privacy and the security issues that we keep seeing these apps and promoters of technology or people, entities looking to commoditize, to create a process that they can make money off of. Keep seeing what sticks, throwing something against the wall, see what sticks. And that's what we see with this data collection. Hey, they've been talking about it. And what winds up happening is the appraisal piece is always kind of that open back door because it's not guarded. And we don't have a great voice and a great lobby. We're a very small part of the process, but we're so important because we lend confidence to those investors down the road who they see this process has been standardized. We've done it all. We've standardized it. We have people in place that are regulated, hold licenses, have ethics. And then on top of it, if they're realtors, which most residential appraisers are realtors, all of the realtors' code of ethics that they have to follow and opportunities and access to information about broader issues in real estate and the ability to be educated by realtor associations who have a broader knowledge of broader things besides just what we do, the nuts and bolts of appraising.
So, well, it's just interesting to me that, I mean, you and I both know the appraisers as a specialization have been under attack for the last several years, and the bulk of the real estate professional space does not understand what's happening. They're not reading the emails. But you look at what's happening now in the banking sector, and since the beginning of 2023, we've seen multiple banks fail. So it would make logical sense that the appraiser's value is increasing right now to protect those investors who are still willing to make mortgage loans. But in a complete defiance of logic, the government and the GSEs, the government sanctioned entities, Fannie and Freddie, are acting like the appraisers are less important. And that just doesn't make any sense. And we're facing a tightening of credit going into third quarter of 2023 because of what's happening in the terrible fiscal policy going on out of DC, but it's going to make credit tighten. It's going to tighten up the dollars. Appraisers should be at the forefront of this conversation to say, I'm here to protect the investors. Okay. How do we get that back door strengthened, Peter? What is 30,000 foot view? What should happen besides the feds need to leave appraisers alone?
We really need to have appraisers more involved with real estate associations, and we need to be listened to. We need actual practitioners who are out there doing what I do. How I get to trust in advocacy is by seeing, associating, or weeding out people who do what I do. I want to trust people who do what I do. So I know, Lee, if you're out inspecting houses and you're measuring, you do what I do, you're running a business, you're an appraiser, I know that your interests are where my interests are and your concerns are where my concerns are. Too many of those that have a voice right now when it comes to appraising, they aren't even appraisers. They don't even pretend to be appraisers. They're technology people. Some of the gurus in DC that from these big tech companies that are turned to by the GSEs, they're not appraisers. They're technology people. And they don't know. I mean, they might have an idea. I'm sure they have an idea. They're not stupid people. They understand what's going on. But they're not using that same knowledge. They're trying to do workarounds. Rather than you have things in place that work, let's expand on that. But in reality, it's more about gaining control, getting it down to clicks that nobody has to do anything. They can charge $25 or 25 cents. But when it's hundreds of thousands, millions of transactions across the country, that's a big number. That's billions of dollars it turns into. And they know that. So, I mean, you look at this technology with this getting in, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are leveraging the loan process. They're to get into people's homes. They know borrowers want a loan. They know lenders want to lend. Hey, we'll give you guys all an appraisal waiver. Just let this person in the house with the phone and we'll release the lenders from reps and warrants. The borrower will get the loan. They might not really understand what's going on, but they know what they want, which is they want their loan.
So let me ask you a question then. So you mentioned the data collectors. And for those of y'all that are watching or listening to this, the data collection grassroots little opportunity is where the appraiser can pay somebody, anybody. They don't have to have a license or anything. You pay them $75, walk in the house and do a scan with a technology tool or a physical scan to report back to the lender so they can finish the appraisal on the desktop. So that's what it works. In North Carolina, we are hopeful that we can change the rule so that at least that person has to be licensed, because we're aware that the fox is in the hen house at this point. But if I'm looking at this data collection piece, you mentioned privacy, and we know that the person who's doing the technology scan, so whatever app they're using to look at the property, they're in somebody else's house. Does the seller of the house, so the actual current owner, do they have any privacy protections on that, Peter? Or is their entire life being scanned in for the purposes of an appraisal, and now it's been thrown into some vast body of knowledge without their consent?
I don't know. And that's a good question. And it's not.
I don't think I've heard that addressed at all. Let me write that down.
This is being done probably more so with refinances, which where people live in the home, it's not an empty home. And then on top of it, there's not even an agent involved that's coming through the house. It's just the loan officer, the lender who has a partnership with an appraisal management company who does one of the six, which is on barely two hands of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who they approved to do this. So you have it whittled down to six companies that are preferred to do this. You have the lender hiring one of these companies who then vets supposedly somebody to come through a property. And we know what's already happened there, and we can go into that. But think about that. And that person who goes through the house, they probably don't even know. They just know that they were trained, they were told to do this and do that with the phone. So then where does that data go? It goes to the AMC, who's they're also starting to call themselves tech companies, technology companies. So who owns that data? The technology company. Who do they send it to? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'm not sure what the GS...
But the technology, if the AMC, that's an appraisal management company, by the way, we keep dropping in acronyms here, public, and don't stress out. If you're a real estate pro, you might know this. And if you're a random consumer who is a nerd about real estate, the appraisal management companies have been around for a while, but they got the bulk of their steam in 2009 when the Home Valuation Code of Conduct legislation was passed in D.C. And so you should know that that's when they jumped in and really took a space away from the independent appraisers. And so back to your AMCs, and they own the data. So they call themselves tech companies and they own the data. Again, well, who's consenting? Is it in the refi documents? Have you ever seen the documents from a bank? Because I'm going to have to ask for some. If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is four modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
I don't know, but if you read these companies, their privacy policies, one of them is a floor plan company that was purchased by an AMC to do this. Their privacy policies are basically, they say, hey, we can use this data for what we want to and forever how long we want to use it. There's so many issues with this. And again, it just goes back to nobody's paying attention. Things go so far with nobody paying attention that they're already ingrained, and then they come and they build on that. So right now, really what we've heard is that this data collection, it's really what they're going to try and do, and they have done already in part, is reach out to agents and brokers to do it for them for their listings. So we offer this service where we can do your floor plan, we'll collect the data, we'll get it all set up so that you can just upload it to your MLS as a service. And you can pay us for that service, and that'll include a floor plan that won't have measurements on it. If you want the measurements, the one with the measurements, that's $40.
Hey, extra.
You can have the free one. Agents and brokers are kind of like, oh yeah, and that gets the liability off of me. If I miss, I can say, just like you go and have the house measured, or you already use the floor plan tool. But who owns that data? The MLS doesn't own that data now. The best data with the scan is the technology company really owns that, the gold standard of data. So You know everything that the competition in the MLS space right now, with there's a lot, especially commercial, you see a lot happening with the commercial entities because there really isn't a player other than one that we know of for a long time. And they've broken into the residential space. So there's a lot of eyeballs.
Just say it. It's CoStar. It's the mafia of real estate is CoStar, and they bought Homesnap. And so they now have the ability to do predictive analytics that nobody else has because they have such a stranglehold on the commercial side. But like you said, when you have that much of the market and now you're collecting the data too, the predictive analytics look far more intense and far more reliable, but it still is over commoditization of the end product.
Right. We need to connect the dots more between what is going on between all of us in real estate. I think it happens in bits and pieces here and there, but I think we're all kind of wrapped up. We have a lot of big issues that we're all dealing with. And when I come to you and you come to me, we hear what we want to hear and try and relate it to what we got going on. And we don't really put the bigger picture together. But I'll tell you, every time we talk and somebody listens about what's going on, their mouths drop open. Because it's just doing an appraisal is pretty easy. It's the business as an appraiser you cannot operate in. You cannot get through. It probably takes longer for us to figure out how to get the order from the client and send the appraisal back out. And it's more costly because we're charged to upload. There's subscription fees. There's so many little fees. And I think lenders kind of wake up, but the lenders are paying them on their side. We don't see what's happening on their side. They don't see what's happening on our side. And all these firewalls and all the regulation just creates this environment for these third parties to come in who contribute nothing to the process. They don't help you negotiate for your client. They don't help me figure out
a value. They just siphon off cash and increase the overall fee structure on the end user.
Yeah. A lot of the tools you talk about, analytics, we don't have access to them as appraisers. We have our own. We can come up with our own, but this tool, the scanning tool to come up, I was told by one of these providers that if I wanted to, I could get the technology and use it in my firm. You know how much it would cost me per file, per report that we do? $40.
$40. And your margins already got squeezed because of the fees.
So how does that make sense? And on top of it, it's not even something we can use because this is when you get into these companies say they're ANSI aligned. They don't comply with ANSI. They're ANSI aligned. So we had Fannie Mae at our NAR forum last year in Orlando, and we had one of the floor president of the floor plan company. And I asked them about ANSI. I asked them about their technology in ANSI. I said, ANSI aligned, that doesn't mean you're compliant. And that's where he said, well, we have algorithms that figure out wall thickness, and it's a pretty good guess. So then I asked Fannie Mae, I said, so you require appraisers to comply with the ANSI. So if I use this, would you accept that if I use this tool? We can't tell you who to use and what tools an appraiser can use. We don't endorse third parties, but they're sitting there. And these are the same folks that are approved to do the data collection by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The same six. This guy was one of the companies that is owned by one of the big six. So it's just, what is going on? And I mean, I think we know what's going on, but there are no national property databases. And I think that's where everybody's looking to. And then having something like that, the implications of competing with multiple listing systems and how they can wedge themselves into more of the real estate money pot is obvious that that's all going on. And everybody has the right to go and advocate for their interests and try and create new things. That's how we're going to get ahead. But when I'm held to all these standards and regulation, and then we can't even, our trainees, most lenders won't accept inspections from a trainee, but they do from data collectors who have no training. So why don't you let the appraisal trainees who you're trying to diversify the profession? Well, that's one thing that we can do, but that's cut out. We keep getting cut out. And agents and brokers, it's the same thing.
So wait a minute. So you have to accumulate, was it 1600 hours in your apprentice period or 1500?
So it's different from, I think it's 1000 for a licensed, 1500 for certified.
They're certified because some banks require certified, right? So if it's 1500 hours, does data collection count as part of your hours or no?
We don't know. That's so new.
So hang on, who would make that determination? The appraisal institute?
No, that would be the appraisal qualifications board. So there's the appraisal foundation, which is a private entity, and they're tasked by Congress to maintain minimum standards for qualification and education for appraisers. So they have, and standards. So they have a standards board and they have a qualifications board. So their qualifications board is the one that sets the minimum requirements for education and experience.
Okay, so let's make this audience friendly for a second. Tell me three things that an appraiser does that can never be replicated by electronics, or three things that you look for in your report and that evaluation. Just give me the three top things that people should know about.
Two come to mind. One is putting the whole picture together, painting it, and acting as a typical purchaser. Okay. So being able to walk a property, like I said before, smelling it, feeling it, there are intangibles. And there are a lot of intangibles with the property. And then you got to put all those together. And then there's the intangibles of knowing your market and how it fits. Sure, there's a lot of data that goes into all that, but it takes an appraiser to put it all together. It takes a human to do that. But I'll tell you, what I built my business on is my interaction with homeowners for my client. So I walk into a house, you're walking into somebody's sanctuary. Okay. Now, somebody like me going in and then a data collector, you don't even know who they are. Okay. So I go in and people are nervous. You're able to talk to them and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Give me any information. What do you want to tell me? Doing all of that. And then making the homeowner feel comfortable with the process where you get it to a point, and this is how you build your business. You can't do this anymore because of all the firewalls and I can't be engaged directly. But then that homeowner goes back to my client and says, oh, that appraiser came through. He was great. He really let us know. So whatever he comes up with, I'm confident that I had that interaction with that appraiser. Now you can't do that. And the lender's like, well, I'm going to use Pete again. Pete, I want him for all my, and that's how you build your business as an appraiser. Plus, you're doing reports that survive scrutiny. This is a big thing. Everything that we do as appraisers is disclosed. You're supposed to put your reports together so that anybody who reads them, you can defend them. And you have everything in your work file to show how you were supported. Black box algorithms that come up with values, AVMs, most of those are proprietary. You don't know what they're doing. So when you have this, an appraiser can use a tool like this, but you better know how to arrive with those same measurements on your own with a pencil and a calculator, how it came up with those measurements. And using the technology, you can't do that because remember, it guesses. So you don't know what it's doing. It's guessing it. So as an appraiser, I'm not going to use something that I don't know how it's, because when I'm before the licensing board because a homeowner's upset because they thought their house was bigger.
You're responsible.
I don't know. I use this. Well, did you figure out? No. Do you do that for all of your? Well, yeah. Ever since it came out, this is a lot easier. So on all your reports, you've used this. So we want to see all your work files for the past year since you've been using that. So that's the standard that we're kept to. And it's the same with agents and brokers. So
that's why, friends, if you are a homeowner and you have called your bank to refinance the house, you can ask your bank to send a certified appraiser. You have that right to request an independent certified appraiser. And if you are a realtor representing buyers, your buyers can request that from their bank too. So if you're listening to this, you're like, something doesn't add up with a random stranger coming in to collect data to send it to somebody behind a computer, buyers can request one. And I think this is where we have to change our educational piece a little bit, because in the past, all people thought about the appraisal process was, I hope it hits. And that's all they did was make a hope. And buyers don't get to pick the appraiser. Buyers agents don't get to pick the appraiser. Listing agent doesn't get to pick. It's the bank who puts out a request for an appraisal. But the end user consumer can ask for a certified appraiser to come in the property. And that's a right that you have as a consumer. And the spoiler alert too is it doesn't cost you anymore. So when they talk about these cost savings, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Peter. It's just putting more dollars into a different pocket because the consumer is going to pay the same thing. And I think that's what's driving me crazy right now too. It sounds cheaper and it's not.
It's not. Well, so they send a data collector out. If a data collector comes across something, now I've heard that they require repairs too. They can decide on condition and everything. They can call for repairs. Again, who knows?
And they can be completely unlicensed. The felon who went into a house in Michigan back in February had just gotten out of jail and became a data collector. That guy could walk in your house and say, you got to fix this.
He didn't get out of jail. He was out for sentencing.
He wasn't locked up right at that moment. So he could
Exactly. He knew he was probably going to jail, but whatever. So, but think about the data collector sees something. Now, everything that Fannie Mae and Freddie says, oh, well, then they can upgrade it. If there's something, then they can upgrade it to a desktop. And then if the desktop isn't good enough, then they can upgrade it to a traditional appraiser where an appraiser goes out to the property. So think of that. Think of how is that cheaper and faster? And how much is that going to cost? So lenders don't want to redisclose. They don't know what the fees are. So what are they going to do? And this is what we've heard before where with AMCs where they take the fee might be $650 and they pay the appraiser $325 or $300 and the AMC is getting $350. It's like, how does that make sense, right? Well, the answer is the big banks don't want to redisclose. So they just set up, hey, this is what we'll pay for a valuation, whatever that is, $1,000. So the AMC sees that and they're like, okay, well, we already know that AMCs shop around and they shop for the cheapest appraiser and the fastest. Right. And that could take a week for them to broadcast it out and shop around. But I'm kind of losing where I was going with this. But that's where
it's the money. We started off with it doesn't cost the consumer extra to have a real appraiser.
There's all the incentive to get it done for $50 so that they can keep the $950 out of the $1,000 fee that they charge the lender. That's where this is all coming from.
It is. And that was the same fee that would be paid if you had a certified appraiser in the first place instead of a random stranger walking in your house. It's not right. It's just not right. The best from the get-go when I'm dealing with my largest financial instrument, which is a piece of real estate. You go back to the idea that we're commoditizing real estate. If you detach the emotion from it, still look at it. It's still the biggest chunk of money almost anybody's ever going to be involved with. Why wouldn't you want the best verification or opinion of value that you can get out of the gate? I mean, it's wildly important, especially for first-time buyers, first-generation buyers, or low-income people who are getting into the home ownership game. They need the best possible protection, and so does their bank, because they're also typically our lowest down payment client, and the lender has far more money at risk. And so they should be asking for the best verification of value.
To the lender, it's a house. To the buyer, it's a home, right? And so a lot of senses, commoditizing of the property is done in the lender. And that's, we're supposed to be kind of the insure against the emotion. But at the same time, we're also insuring to the consumer. The consumer sees our report and they can use it. You know, there's a lot of unintended users of our reports and we have to be braced for that. It wasn't written for, we'll see it and rely upon it. And there isn't any technology out of there that can put all that together and then stand behind it. You can pick up the phone, shoot an email to an appraiser, they can defend it. Who are you going to call with an AVM or any technology? Who are you going to call other than, you know, you can make calls on this, but you can't call this to ask it what it's doing, right? So
no, I'm going to call in the Charlotte area, either Peter Gallo or William Bryant. Those are my two favorite appraisers. And you know, William, he is a stand-up. Yeah. Peter, if somebody is watching or listening to this and they're an appraiser and they want to get involved in the conversation so they can be a voice of reason, or there's somebody looking to hire an appraiser in and around the Charlotte area, and they want to hire you or your firm, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you?
So our office number is 704.
That's not supposed to be a trick question.
Well, you know, that's another thing. We don't put ourselves out there. I mean, we're...
Yeah, but you do. So let's just remind people of this. You are one of the leading edge of the battle in appraisal world to speak up on behalf of your fellow appraisers, and you volunteer. You spend a ton of your time at the North Carolina Realtors and at the National Association of Realtors, making sure the appraisal specialization angle is heard. So there might be other appraisers that would wish to join you in that effort. So how can they find you?
All right. My cell phone is 704-578-8205 or Peter G. at Homesight, SIGHTLLC.com.
Well, it's so hard. And I'll put all of Peter's contact information in the show notes for this episode, and you can connect with them on social media as well. But I will say that as a non-appraiser myself, but as a busybody realtor who knows how important the appraisal process is, this is a really important topic to stay in front of. And it is an important use of your time if you are considering being involved in the profession. If you are a consumer, you've got to know that you have rights and they may or may not have been disclosed. And actually, we'll have to come back and talk about whether sellers have to convince consent to data collection of their properties, because I'm very concerned about that. But in the meantime, Peter, thank you for what you're doing in the profession and for what you do for the appraiser community on the whole and for what you do in Charlotte. You are very appreciated.
Thank you, Lee. You're very appreciated too for doing this. Thank you.
Okay. So if you enjoyed this conversation, if you need more information, leave a comment for Peter in the comments for this episode. Give us a like and a thumbs up. And most importantly, click on the subscribe button so you can be notified of future episodes. And there's also some links here to some additional episodes about these topics so that you can be an educated and informed professional or an educated and informed consumer. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.